last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I got up at 10 after 5 because we had a huge rainstorm here last night, and it's just been pelting rain. So I'm kind of bleary, but I feel good. I've got a lot of great creative things going on, and I'm working on my book right now. And I signed a deal with Warner Books about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, to write my autobiography, and I've been doing that rather diligently for the last few months. So I was just back in New York working with my co-author.
Oh, good. I look forward to that. If it's all right with you, I'll sort of start off asking you a bit about your musical present, if you like, and then maybe go later on into some of the things in the past. One thing occurred to me, it seems like you've had an awful lot of bad luck with record companies going broke and stuff like that sort of marred some of your comeback attempts. Is that...
companies, I think, of any artist that ever lived. I had a big record in America that started... well, in 85, when I had the Romance album, I had a top five single, and the album went gold in the first week it was out. And when the album went top 20, the week the album went top 20, it the record company Arista was bought up, Ariola was bought up by BMG and RCA, and they fired everybody in the staff of Arista. And there were two or three artists, I think all together, that were out at the time on Arista, and the three artists that had records out, the records all died that week, and mine was one of them. So I kind of picked myself up, and I thought, and Arista wanted me to make another record for them, and I had such a bad taste in my mouth, I decided I wanted to go back to America and things so on.
Yeah, because I was always sort of wondering why you didn't capitalize on Romance. I mean, it was a huge hit. I mean, it, you know, top ten's nothing to sneer at, and I suppose a lot of people wondered why there wasn't any sort of substantial follow-up to that.
Well, that was it. It was really, it was very, very frustrating for me, and I spent so much time writing the record and then promoting it. I did a tour subsequently that did very well, and then a couple of sold-out shows at the Albert Hall. And I went on from there. I came back to America, and I started working on a play that I did here. I went to back in 87 and worked in the West End of London and did time.
Yep.
And then I didn't make another record until 1989-90, where I wrote and did the record for Enigma, and then I had a big record here in America that was really starting to happen, and it went top 20, and the record company went bust. They went Chapter 11.
Yeah, sorry, gather. I mean, has that record now died without a trace? I mean, it had some awfully good songs that weren't released as singles. Is that sort of finished now and you're sort of on to the next one, or is there any chance that record will be re-released through someone else?
It will be re-released. I just got the rights back to it. In fact, I own the rights to it now as of about 6 weeks ago. Just after the New Year, we signed the contract, and they're yet to deliver all of the tapes to me, but it now is... I own the masters and everything as a settlement. Because I was so badly speared in the rear end.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, I have had some bad luck with the record companies, and I really think that, you know, I mean, making records is a very exciting and creative thing, and I like, as a songwriter, I really enjoy doing it. I've also, because I've written songs that other people have covered, and I like the process creatively. Business aspect of it is always the most frustrating, the most difficult, because when you turn it over to a record company, you never know what's going to happen, whether they're going to get behind it, whether, you know, whether or not they're going to focus their energy on you. And now being with a small label in America, the process becomes that much more difficult because you're with a different company in every different market and territory in the world. So before, when I was with a company that had a worldwide sort of deal, and I was on a television show and I had that kind of momentum, it was very easy to go and capitalize on it. And it's become a lot more difficult in the last few years. I think the competition, the cost of marketing an artist, I think that the local territories have become very prudent in terms of, you know, how much they're going to invest in huge record sales there, and I think I kind of understand that, and I'm not bitter about it. You know, I think that I see the realities of the economic climate that we've been in, but still, I feel rather buoyant about all of it. You know, I continue to make music that my fans and that at least most of the critics were pretty, I think responded well to. So I make music for myself and certainly for the people that have followed me. I continue to try and make different kinds of records.
Good. I was keen to know how Dinity Used to Be is going in the United States. Is it getting much airplay, or is it selling well?
It did pretty well when we released it out in the fall, and then it sort of backed off, and we're starting to set up the next single now. The one thing I didn't tell Polygram in Australia is I actually have a sort of a, well, what could be considered a video that was recently shot at a show that I was doing, and we stayed and did some work on it, and it's pretty gritty, but it has a real it has a real feel for it. So perhaps they'll consider I have to talk to them about it.
Yeah, I don't think they've made a decision here on a single, have they? Whether there'll be one that'll come out or not?
I don't know. I don't think they have. But I'm certainly going to be talking to them shortly.
Right. At this point in time, there doesn't seem to be a lot of your early material available on CD. I mean, are you keen for some of that stuff to be released, or would you prefer it to sort of stay as part of history and just get on with what you're doing now?
Well, for years I was glad that it wasn't. You know, when Arista was bought up and all of that, they weren't, those records were not available any longer. Just because of the chain of events, Clive Davis, when he took over Arista, which was Bell, all of the artists that were signed to Bell and had been so successful, all of those tracks and all of those various artists' albums were no longer available. I think he wanted to start fresh, and that was his ego, and I guess that he chose to make it a new company. I think now, in America, I don't know if it's been released around the world, a greatest hits record.
That's right, from Partridge Family. Yeah, I think that was released here late last year. That's probably the only one. Certainly the earlier albums aren't available.
Hold on one second.
I was just wondering also on the audiences you're playing to now. I mean, I gather you're not sort of filling 70,000 strong stadiums anymore, but I'm just keen to find out sort of who the sort of 1993 David Cassidy audience is.
Well, I've been playing here in America a lot in the last couple of years, and the audience is definitely from like the early 20s to late 30s. The core of my audience, where it's gone on, I don't know what it would be like. I mean, it's probably the same in England and Germany, but I haven't been to Australia in 18 years, so I don't know. And I really would love to come back and play and tour there. I've been trying to do it. I almost had a tour put together, and I ended up, because I had an opportunity to go out last summer, I went out and did a lot of dates on my own, and I did some of the big open-air stadiums where we were playing to, 25,000 people with, I went out with the Beach Boys and did some dates.
Right. Yeah. So you're still managing to fill those sort of stadiums?
Well, I wouldn't say that, no. I mean, I couldn't do it alone any longer. I think that I'm looking to go out and play, the open-air theaters that are between 5,000 and 10,000 seats. Those kinds of theaters are the great places play in the summer, and that's really where I'm going and headed, and I feel pretty good about that this summer. Depends upon the market. I mean, here in America, where I've really spent most of the time in the last few years, and I've had more success here and a lot more of exposure, and they're aware of my latest stuff. I think that, it depends upon where you're able to cultivate it, and it's not an easy thing any longer. There's so much out there for the consumer and for to market an artist. As I was talking about, is the record company going to get behind and do flats? And are they going to make ads? Are they going to take ads? Are they going to get you to write? You know, it becomes a very difficult proposition,
sure.
Especially if you're coming from a smaller label and you don't have the head of the company in America saying to all of the different territories, this is the record we want to break. And I understand the record business very, very well because I've come from doing it basically all on my own through Enigma Records. The hit I had was with a really small company, and I did a lot of the promotion and the marketing of the thing myself, practically. And it was good for me to do that. I had never been in that kind of a situation, and I got sort of from the ground level. And you know, I was out and did a lot of work with radio, and I loved doing it. I mean, I really have to tell you that I still love to play. And for me, I never wanted, I mean, your question about the 70s was really a good one, because for years I really didn't want, I distanced myself from it. I didn't want to play it. I hadn't played some of the hits that I played on the tour in 91 and 92. I hadn't played some of those songs in 15 years. So I really have now not only made peace with my past, but I like, you know, I like to do things that show I have a sense of humor about myself. And
sure.
I did a movie that was a satire called The Spirit of 76, which is
right.
Played very big here in a lot of this, like San Francisco, Los Angeles. It's playing kind of like the Rocky Horror Show or Spinal Tap. It's a cult film. Satire about the 70s, in which I send myself up. And I think you have to give people an insight into your own take on yourself. And I never took it all that seriously. I really had a great time. I felt very lucky. I mean, I had at one time the largest fan club in the history of the world, and I consider, you know, the work that I did, I'm glad I left it at the top. I'm glad I didn't become some tragic figure, and I think that's the reason when I came back to it, that it was still there for me, that I hadn't spun off and made a lot of bad records that never happened, or, you know, just it never got to a point for me where my career was out of control. I felt like I walked back into it, and I wished I'd had the kind of momentum and the heat that I had. You can't recreate that, but you can walk back into it on your own terms and creatively do the kind of work that you want to do, or else not do it. I walked back into it, and I think it was the music and the writing that brought me back.
Sure.
So,
Do you find now you're playing to an audience, some of which wouldn't even know who Keith Partridge was? I mean, is it getting that
sense with? Yeah, there are people that don't really know the Partridge family that see me. That's true.
And how do you think your voice is gone with age? Do you think you've got a better voice now than you had 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I think I do. But I think that, you know, if I... Funny thing about it is, I just... You know, we all evolve and we change and style change. If I went back and sang the songs the same... In the same arrangements that I sang them back then, certainly my voice is a little huskier and got a little more power to it. But yeah, I guess from all of the theater and things that I've done, that I've had a lot more training. But I think I'm a better singer. I think I have a better range now, probably, than I did then. But I don't. I think people sort of say, you know, most of the people that knew my records from back then sometimes are surprised when they hear me do a different kind of approach, different kind of song, singing a harder-edged rock song, because they never heard me sing that stuff. I could do a lot more, I think, with my voice even back then than I was allowed to do. A lot of the records I made, I never would have made had they not been created for a character I was playing on a television show.
Sure. Well, you must be about, what, 42 now? Would that be right? Yeah, I mean, I suppose 20 years ago, you probably wouldn't get away with making a comeback as a rock and roll star at that age, but these days, this whole sort of average age seems to be getting higher. Would you agree with that? But, I mean, these days, you're not even particularly old for a rock and roll star.
Well, you know, here's the deal. No, when I look around and I see Keith Richards and I see Jagger and Clapton and, you know, all of the guys that have managed to carry on, Elton and the rest of them, no, I'm not that old. I'm not anywhere near as old as those guys are. But I don't think it's a matter of age. I think that anybody who's more or less 50-ish or under, I mean, Chuck Berry's still happening. You know, because I left it, here in America, the word, it's comeback isn't really used any longer. I think it was a few years ago, but I've been carrying on now for some time, and I'd love to come back in terms of coming back to Australia. I would love to come back and play there. I still, and I've said this many times, it's not because I'm talking to you now. I had one of the best times of my life there. The people were wonderful, although the press is a bit of a I think they really ground me into being this pop phenomenon.
I know, Tomatoes, I was reading the files yesterday. I was looking at some of the headlines. I didn't think they'd be too funny for you. Lollipop Millionaire and...
You know, there was a snide sort of, I don't know, you know, they wanted to get rid of me. They said, you know, it was like World War III, his concerts, because they never reviewed me or the music or the experience. They just reviewed how many, you know, the bills were out and how many that the St. John's ambulances treated and, you know, whatever it was. And I thought, well, you know, certainly that was a part of it, but what was really a part of it is this incredible sort of energy that was people out of control with their emotions. And I loved playing to them. They were tremendous audiences, and I won't ever forget them. I won't forget the tour at all. In fact, all the dates I did probably over 350 or 60 dates back in those days, and I don't think I could. I think I can remember every single one of them.
Is that right? And is there some realistic chance that we'll get to Australia later in the year?
Yeah, there is. In fact, I'm having some discussions with a couple of promoters, but I very much want to come and I want to play. In fact, I was thinking about bringing over maybe another act with me. Danny Bonaducci opened some shows for me here in America.
Yeah. He's obviously quite well known here now.
Yeah, he's doing well, and I think he wants to come back, and I know he'd like to come and open for me. So we might do something like that.
Sure.
I don't know when, because I've got a pretty busy schedule, but I think that Polygram, I said, you know, if you have any contacts, because I don't have any actual contacts with promoters over there any longer, and I don't have an agent representing me in Australia. So I hope the promoters will contact
me. Yeah, I'll mention that. I just want to talk a little bit about the Partridge Family guys. I noticed in the very first episodes, you were obviously miming to someone else's voice. I mean, how did it come about that they discovered that you could actually sing?
Only in the pilot.
Right.
Only in the very first episode, which was the pilot.
Okay, now, at what stage during the early days did they discover you could sing? I mean, I'm just wondering how it is they made a pilot and then suddenly your voice appeared after that.
Well, they didn't have time to get the actors, you know, they didn't audition actors for singers. They cast everybody as actors.
Right.
And they didn't even ask me if I could sing. Because when you make a pilot, you make a pilot, and then once it becomes it's bought as a television series, then they started looking at, they hired a record producer, they hired basically a whole team of people, and when they got the producer involved, they knew there were going to be records involved, at which point my agent manager called them and said, you know, David's a singer, and they said, great. I went down and I auditioned basically for them, and they were kind of knocked out, so I was a guitar player, and I played in bands and stuff, and I had done singing. And it was at that point that before we started making the television show, that we went in and we cut like 20 sides for almost the whole entire first year. We cut songs for a lot of the different episodes, and ultimately we cut songs that were going to be used for an album. That was their intention. So, yeah, I sang on every single track except the very first one, which was really before there was a record or, you know, it might have never even gotten on the air.
Sure.
That's why they chose to do that.
I was just wondering what it was like in those days with all the hysteria. If you look back at the files now, it was like awesome.
I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't walk down the street.
Well, could you go shopping? Could you go to the movies?
Hold on for a second. Got to hold on. Hi. Hello?
Yeah.
I got the other call, unfortunately my time is up here with you, and I would love to spend some more time with you, but they're on the other line, and I promised them I'd give everybody like 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's no worries. I'll send you a copy of the story when it's done.
Great.
Appreciate your time.
I could tell you what it was like for me. It was a loss of my own identity. I perpetuated the business of David Cassidy for 5 years, and I did something that probably a small handful of people on the planet had ever done, and I felt like the only way for me to ever have a future and for people to see who I really was to walk away from it on the top. And I did, and I felt good about that, and the only person that it matters to is me. Anyway, please send me a copy, and I'd love to...
Yeah, I might catch up with you when you're here later in the year, maybe.
Great, fantastic.
Okay, good, David.
Sure, Shane, bye.
Thanks a lot, bye.